Well, for those who've got confidence in South Africa's future, there are opportunities aplenty. Mantengu Mining is a 200 million rand market cap business listed on the Altex, which today secured the acquisition of a platinum mine that owes more than a billion rand. So it's a bit like a mouse swallowing an elephant, or maybe not. We'll find out in a moment from the chief executive, Mike Miller. Thanks for joining us, Mike. It is one of those, I suppose, enterprise transforming transactions, potentially, because it is an operation that if you can bring this company to account, this Blue Ridge Platinum Mine, it might change your fortunes completely.
Yes, Alec, thank you very much. We absolutely thrilled with the transaction, and we believe it will provide us the step up to play on a much bigger platform.
So people who don't know your company, just give us some background on what assets you have.
At the moment, we have got two operating mines, which we mine and process chrome concentrate out of at the moment. The one is a mine about 20 kilometers south of Thabazimbi, a mine called Langpan. It's a 7 to 8 year life of mine. We currently have 135 staff on site. We're in the second phase of building a second chrome wash plant, and we expect to be at full capacity end of November, early December this year. The second operation is a high-grade chrome operation just outside of Zeerust. We have about 120 staff on that operation, and we are three-quarters of the way through that capitalization, and we expect to get to steady state in early November. In both operations, we produce high-grade chrome concentrate, and we'll be looking to bring on other product lines out of the Zeerust operation when we start selling a high-grade chip into the market. So those are the two operations that we've got in the moment.
A neat business. You've got things under control there. Why are you having a go at this Blue Ridge Platinum mine?
So I think before I answer that question directly, I think in every crisis, there's an opportunity. And I think the crisis that South Africa is facing is that we are a highly illiquid economy where 94% of South Africa's cash is managed by effectively 10 institutions. And those 10 institutions effectively manage the cash into the top 40, whether debt or equity. And for the rest of us mere mortals, we have to fight for the 6% scraps left in the market. And one of our observations over the last couple of years is that massive illiquidity has resulted in a number of distressed assets in many instances with significant intrinsic value that is requiring the right quantum of funding, the right quantum of integrity, corporate governance, ethics, etc., and market. So for us, at a listed level, we are a mining investment company. We are targeting mining services and energy opportunities, but specifically in the small to large sector. And the reason for it is that you find opportunities exactly like the opportunity that we have with Blue Ridge. And Blue Ridge for us is absolutely huge. In the first instance, it locks in a long-term resource in the PGM and chrome space. It locks in significant scale. So to your first point earlier, it allows us to scale up and start playing with some of our bigger colleagues. And I think it really gives us a great balance sheet for a starting point. So in your introduction, you said we would be taking on a little over a billion rands worth of debt, and our market cap was 200, and so the rest of your analogy went. Whereas if you look at what we're getting into, it's the best start. We're taking on an entity with effectively mooted liabilities. Because we bought all of the liabilities for a nominal amount. We have a significant assessed loss, which means the profitability of that operation going forward gets the benefit of that. And in most instances, the assets have been written off, but still retain a lot of their intrinsic value. So we expect almost on day one that the transaction is completed or becomes unconditional. We'll have to fair value those assets to some pretty significant numbers. And if you take a step back, that gives you an unencumbered real estate, which we can utilize, as we see best fit going forwards.
That's a heck
so
of,
no, hugely excited about where we are.
Heck of a deal. You buying a company that has had clearly more than R1 billion investment into it, which is, when you say, a nominal amount, so that's been written off. So you're getting R1 billion worth of sunk capital, I guess, in a mine that is going to be, well, it's been on care and maintenance for a long time. So I suppose the question has to be, why and what will you be doing different to bring this to account?
Yeah, so I think just to start on the balance sheet comment, in totality, there's about R2 billion worth of debt that has effectively been bought in the transaction. So going forward, there's effectively no external liabilities on the liability section of the balance sheet. It comes with a R3 billion assessed loss and assets that require revaluation on day one. So for us, from a pure corporate finance investment perspective, it really does give us an unencumbered real estate to apply our entrepreneurial and innovative kind of corporate finance thinking going forward. So it really is a great balance sheet to start. In terms of the opportunity, effectively, we'll be taking a phased approach to this investment. Over and above the balance sheet benefit, which I've mentioned to you, Blue Ridge has a 1 million ton dump. The dump has very high grades of chrome and PGMs inherent in the dump. And so the first phase of our project will be to put up a processing plant to take the chrome and PGMs out of that dump. And we expect to get up to about 375,000 tons of chrome concentrate and about 35,000 ounces of PGMs out of that dump. So that would be phase one. Phase two, which would be done almost simultaneously, is to perform a bankable feasibility on the underground operation. And I think for us, that's a very important step because, A, we need to understand what's happening underground as that's the foundation for taking the mine forward for the life of mine. But more importantly, it gives us comfort around how to capitalize or how to maximize shareholder return for our Mantengo shareholders. If the feasibility is positive, results in commercially viable kind of conclusion, then we have the option on how best to extract value for all our shareholders and stakeholders going forward.
So let me understand this in terms that everybody else will understand. You are an investment company in mining. You've got expertise in chrome. You've got two neat chrome operations. There's this Blue Ridge Platinum mine, which mines from the UG2 reef, which brings quite a lot of chrome along as well. So you've got platinum and chrome. So the chrome side of the business, absolutely 100%. Chrome's not that far away from platinum, so you're presumably quite confident that you can also extract the platinum. But why is it that Aquarius, who was bought by Sibanye, and they put it on care and maintenance in 2011, Sibanye, who know a bit about platinum, didn't mine or operate the mine. How is it that you're going to make it work and they couldn't?
So I think on the first point, yes, we're absolutely confident that we can extract both the chrome and PGMs out of the dump. And for one kind of main reason is that none of the technology is novel. The processes of extracting chrome and platinum out of a dump are well-trodden, and we have a plethora of options around how best to do that. So in terms of our confidence around extracting chrome and PGMs, absolutely. In terms of why we find ourselves in this position, I think the first point is to point out that dealing with a Sibanye, that's an absolute monster, and monsters come with huge overheads, and those overheads have to find their way into a cost of production somewhere. And if you look at the size of Sibanye, they just can't possibly look at processing a 1 million ton dump. It's just too small in terms of their corporate profile and their investment profile. So I think their scale fits on our side. Where we are a head office of 20 employees at an absolute maximum, that's not the case for all the big blue chips. So I think scale plays a huge role in it. The second element is I think that there were some technical mistakes made in the past, and that's why I emphasize the point that we would need to redo the underground feasibility to have absolute confidence in reinvesting in the underground to take it forward. And I think that's hugely important, and why we would appoint a tier one engineering house to oversee that function. But I think what's critical, Alec, is that if you look at our investment profile and what we've paid for this asset, we've justified the investment based on effectively the utilization of the dump, carrying of the rehabilitation liability, and that ultimately is what drives our investment. So for us, the underground operation and achieving a positive result is merely upside. So for us, we're very excited about this opportunity.
At its maximum, how many people were employed at Blue Ridge?
So effectively, if we had to get all the phases going, the job creation would approximate what it was in the past. And that was approximately 1,800 staff on that site in totality.
Wow, that's quite a jump.
It's a significant job contributor. And again, for us and for Sibanye, you know, that was core to the decision-making around this. You know, at the forefront was, can we save jobs? Can we provide them, you know, a 3 to 4 year job opportunity? And the answer to that was yes. And second to that was, how can we get the communities to directly participate? Because in the past, they simply hadn't. And that's also why we brought the communities into our structure for direct participation.
It'll be interesting to see how investors interpret this, but it's not an unknown or a novel approach. We had Lucas Perillis, who did this with the Anglo operations, Cons Modo, going back many decades. And of course, none other than Patrice Motsepe did a similar deal to start his mining entrepreneurship in the late 90s when he picked up those deep level mines from Anglo American, where Anglo just didn't think they could make a go of it. So it's not unusual, but I guess from your perspective, you're going to need money, you're going to need capital to bring this to account, even though it's a no risk, and you've explained that it's a no risk situation. You've got the chrome and the platinum sitting in the dump, so that I think anyone can understand. But how does that process work in a society which doesn't seem to want to support mining endeavors?
Well, again, I think it goes back to the crisis that I mentioned at the introduction of this interview, and it comes down to South Africa's illiquidity. Our journey as Mantengu started out from, you know, out of a desire to find a mechanism to fund empowerment properly, and so we spent many years trying to find a mechanism that allows you to circumvent the need to have balance sheet or history of trading with that balance sheet. And what we developed was a funding model that allowed you to use somebody else's balance sheet effectively as collateral to bring in 100% debt, and allows people who don't have balance sheet to raise significant money. Now, that's a long-winded story. But effectively, to prove it works, that was why we bought the first operation. I said to my partners at the time, we're running out of capital. We need to prove this model works. Let's go buy a mine and see if we can make it work. And that was how we started the first operation outside of Tabazimbi. We literally bought a SIPC shelf company, and we've put in there several hundred million rand over the last 24 months or so. And at that point, realized that there was more to this, but we needed to go find money offshore that could support these types of ventures. Now, first world investment thinking and third world deployment, inevitably there's a gap. And when we engaged our offshore partners, we said to them, if we had to list this asset, would it create that bridge so that you could give us more funding for small to large empowerment transactions? And the answer was yes. And that's ultimately how Mantengu was born and the journey it's been on. So we've spent most of our corporate lives over the last 6 or 7 years finding mechanisms that allow us to bring new money into new geographies in the small to large sectors.
And what's your background, Mike?
My background is I'm a chartered accountant. I did a master's in finance where I focused on black economic empowerment. I was then a game ranger for a couple of years. And when I was a game ranger, and I worked at one of one of the tier one lodges in the Sabi Sands, what I could never understand was that I could work at that lodge and the owners of that lodge could access any capital market globally. But the communities on the other side of the fence with exactly the same raw ingredients in terms of land, animals, etc., couldn't walk into Capitec and get an overdraft. And that's ultimately where the need to understand rural economics and how rural economics can gain access into kind of global capital markets started. So my roots are accounting, finance, and game ranging.
And mining, what drew you to that area?
So in trying to find a mechanism to tackle a lot of the rural issues around empowerment and inequality, we needed to find A, as I mentioned, a mechanism to fund it, but B, a targeted sector. And for us, you know, mining largely happens in the rural space. It has massive capacity, potential in terms of job creation, wealth creation, conversion of marginalized land, etc. So mining was naturally the sector we picked up on to quite frankly prove that our funding model worked.
Some of those who have been involved in the past, I'm thinking specifically Industrial Development Corporation and the Development Bank of South Africa, might be feeling a little sore because they've had to take a fraction of what their loans, take back a fraction of what they actually lent out. Are they, though, behind you here when you get to that next stage of raising capital to get those 1,800 potentially people working at the mine again? What's the relationship with them, and has there been any signals of support?
There's absolutely been massive signals of support, and in fact, I couldn't praise or sing their praises any higher. Both the IDC and the Development Bank of South Africa had to write off significant investments, into Blue Ridge. But I think one thing they've always stood by is that, you know, the finance is one thing, but it's actually the job creation and the rural opportunities that are actually more important for them. So through this process and the transaction, although they've had to take a few major financial hits, for them the bigger objective was to provide Blue Ridge with the best opportunity to create jobs and some wealth in that area. So yeah, absolutely. I think they've been hugely supportive of what we're up to. The IDC is already one of our stakeholders. We've got an extremely close relationship with them. And again, our mandates are actually very similar, and we see ourselves as a listed counterparty that can help them to tackle a couple of the projects that may be in financial distress.
Mike Miller is the chief executive of Mantengu Mining, which today secured the Blue Ridge Mine, a company into which, as we heard earlier, more than 2 billion rand has been invested. So it's a obvious turnaround opportunity. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.